Everybody knows, said the U.S. Senator at a Senate hearing I attended, that before Columbus, everybody was sure that the world was flat. Oh dear, where to begin? This is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz, your host for these After Dinner Scholar podcasts from Wyoming Catholic College. Regardless of what the senator, and frankly, many of our contemporaries believe, you'd have to go back a long, long, long way before Columbus to find anyone who believed the world was flat. In fact, back in 240 BC, not only was it well known that the earth was a ball, but they had measured the circumference. By AD 150, Claudius Ptolemy created his geocentric model of the universe, a model that held sway for some 1,500 years until Nicholas Copernicus placed the sun rather than the earth at the center of things. Well, as you can imagine, in that 1,500 years, Ptolemy's treatise, Almagest, was copied over and over. In addition, scholars wrote numerous commentaries on the work, all of which fascinates Wyoming Catholic College's Dr. Henry Zepeda, who has a particular interest in the way medieval scholars understood the mathematical sciences that they inherited from the Greeks and the Arabs. He spent much of his adult life reading medieval manuscripts in libraries across the United States and Europe, and spent this past summer in Kansas City, immersed in medieval manuscripts. While I wanted to talk about that summer project, I began by asking Dr. Zepeda how he developed his interest in medieval mathematics and manuscripts.
I think I became first interested in them when I was studying Euclid and then Ptolemy's Almagest at Thomas Aquinas College as an undergrad. And I was surprised to find out that one could actually make a career studying that same sort of thing. And the question of how mathematics went along with Thomistic philosophy really interested me. And then when I started to look into that, I was drawn into different historical controversies that pushed me in the direction of looking at some theories about what ratios were, that in turn pushed me to theories involved in astronomy and to a whole bunch of astronomical texts that have not really been looked at for hundreds of years.
Now, your project this summer centered around medieval commentaries or manuscripts of Ptolemy's Almagest?
Well, I'm focusing on one commentary now, and I've been looking at the manuscripts, and this one was also printed early on, so the early printed editions as well, to edit the text, find, the standard text, produce a standard text for this work, and then to translate it and to write about its history as well.
Begin by telling us something about Ptolemy.
Yeah, sure. So Ptolemy lived in the second century. He wrote on lots of different subjects, most of them mathematical. So he wrote on geography, he wrote on music, he wrote on optics. But he's most known for his work on astronomy. He made his own observations, but he also relied on observations made sometimes centuries before him in order to put together a system for basically how everything up in the heavens was moving. So he put together a system that explained the motions, the complicated motions of the sun, the moon, the five planets that he could see, the fixed stars, and he explained their complicated motions with series of circles that were moving regularly. So he found out a way to simplify the irregularities that he saw up in the heavens to some sort of harmony.
Right, with the Earth at the center.
Yes, with the Earth at the center. So this may seem a little, I think we may be inclined just to dismiss this out of hand as, well, it's wrong, so there's no value in looking at this. But it's fascinating, even though there are some things that are very wrong with this system that do not match the way things really are. It's fascinating to see him put together a system that made sense with the natural philosophy of the time and that pretty accurately matches up with what you could actually see in the heavens.
Mm-hmm. Even though he had the earth in the middle, rather than the sun, it did match up.
Yes, yeah. And of course, there are some inaccuracies, and these sorts of inaccuracies would be the occasion for people in the next 1,500 years to tinker with his system to make it slightly better, to match the heavens better. And then frustration with these attempts would lead to people at Kepler coming to radically different ways of explaining the universe. But overall, it's what he's able to do matches up with things that the average person, even if you went outside every night and looked up at the stars, wouldn't notice. I mean, he's able to explain pretty much everything you can see with the naked eye and basic instruments, and unless you're taking very systematic observations, a lot of his errors would not be readily apparent.
Uh-huh. Well, it was the synthesis for what, 1,200 years?
Oh, yeah, I guess longer than that, right? From the 2nd century all the way up till the 16th century. So
wow.
We're closer to 1,400, in probably 1,500 years before he's mostly supplanted by more up-to-date theories.
Now, there's a persistent rumor with Columbus Day coming along. There's a persistent rumor that prior to 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, everyone, at least everybody in Europe, believed that the world was flat. That's not exactly true, is it?
No, it's not exactly true. You might almost say it's completely wrong. The consensus, at least among educated people, throughout almost all of recorded history, is that the Earth is spherical. And this wasn't something that they just thought up. They had reasons for thinking this, evidence that made them think that the Earth actually is round. And things that are fairly simple, but they require travel and paying attention to your surroundings and maybe getting information from other people. But things such as just the simple fact that you travel north, the North Star starts to rise up in the sky. When an eclipse happens, you can tell that different locations on Earth, different longitudes, they see that at a different local time. So the time when, if you're measuring time according to when the sun is at its highest point and you call that noon, it becomes clear when you see an eclipse that all the local times are not the same. So basically what people were able to see is that there's a need for time zones. And that's something that by taking observations, they were able to determine. And Ptolemy writes about this and argues that the Earth is indeed round, in the 2nd century. And he was by no means the first person to do this.
No, I believe it was the 3rd century BC. They had not only knew that it was round, they measured circumference.
Yeah, by taking by looking at where the sun was in the sky, the angle of it above the horizon, they're able to determine this.
Now, another fallacy that I keep hearing is that Ptolemy had Earth in the middle of the universe. And it was like, that means man is the center of everything. And once you have Copernicus come along, and man is no longer the center of the universe, it's like, oh, there you see, the whole Christian synthesis starts falling apart. But it was no great honor to be at the center of the universe.
No. I mean, we can look at Dante, where the center of the universe is basically hell, right? And then in the Aristotelian natural philosophy, we're at the center of the universe, but it's because we're in the realm of the imperfect, the corruptible, and up in the heavens are actually the things that are great and more noble. So it's actually a promotion for us, not a demotion, to be moved out of the center and put into the heavens.
Your interest, I guess, is not so much Ptolemy, but in all these manuscripts and so on. Tell us a bit more about your summer project.
Yeah, so I am working on a commentary or a reworking of the Almagest, so Ptolemy's most complete work, where he lays out his complete system, is in the Almagest. And this work was lost to the West for centuries and became known again in Western Europe around 1200, in the 12th century. And I'm looking at a reworking made a little while after that, made in the 15th century, by two German-speaking guys. They're writing in Latin, but native German speakers, called Georg Peuerbach and Johannes Regiomontanus. And they rewrote the content of the Almagest in Latin. And they did a few things. They reformatted it to make it more in the mold of a pure mathematical science. They also incorporated a lot of astronomy from the Arabs, who were pretty sophisticated, and added some ideas of their own and observations of their own as well in there. And this work is interesting in the first place because, well, for those reasons, I think, but also because it was printed early on. It was printed in 1496, and Ptolemy's actual Almagest wasn't printed until 1515, so 19 years later. So there was a period of about two decades where if people wanted to read the Almagest, the version that would have been available would have been not the real Almagest, but this reworking of the Almagest. And this is precisely when Copernicus would have been learning astronomy. So it's very likely that he relies on this epitome of the Almagest, this reworking of the Almagest, and not the Almagest itself. And people continued to use it, even preferring to use it over the real Almagest because of its reformatting that made it much easier to learn, much easier to digest.
Mm-hmm. And Copernicus, of course, being one of the key people who created the heliocentric notion of the solar system.
Yeah, so I think if you're really interested in that history of how that change happened, you need to look at where Copernicus came from when he made this big change. And a big part of that picture is looking at this version of the Almagest. So what I've been doing is looking at the manuscripts and also this early printed copy of this revision of the Almagest in order to figure out the text.
Now, how does that impact your work here at Wyoming Catholic College? And you teach Ptolemy.
Actually, I have not yet. I hope to. They have brought it back into the curriculum. In the field science, the first field science class, the freshmen, I think last week or the week before, they went and looked at the heavens, and then they read some chapters from the Almagest, in which Ptolemy tries to put together a big picture of the universe. The things such as that the earth is round, or that the heavens seem to be moving like a sphere around us. They start their study of astronomy looking at first the heavens and then looking at this, one might call it just a common sense conclusions that we'd get from looking at the heavens. And then it's interesting that it's not this first common sense maybe view of the universe that actually is right, but a more complicated one in which we're not stationary at the center, but we find that there are reasons to say that we indeed are moving around the sun.
In Almagest, Ptolemy wrote, "I know that I am mortal by nature and ephemeral, but when I trace at my pleasure the windings to and fro of the heavenly bodies, I no longer touch the earth with my feet. I stand in the presence of Zeus himself and take my fill of ambrosia." Here in Wyoming, we're blessed with crystal clear air and little light pollution. The stars blaze, inviting the exhilaration Ptolemy felt, and calling us not into the presence of Zeus, but into the presence of the triune God who made all things, preserves all things, and will one day make all things new. Why not go outside tonight, if it's clear, look at the stars, and give him praise? For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.